Chapter 46. The Musical, Act 3 and an Intermission. The worst solitude is to be destitute of sincere friendship. Sir Francis Bacon. Act 3. The First Battles, the First Victories. Scene 1. On their way to a shrine high above Ridcoe Village, the uneasy companions had to pass through some rocky badlands. The set was simple. Lofty mountains painted in a far distant perspective, and plain rock-strewn foreground. A couple of bright white and yellow spotlights gave a good impression of oppressive heat. Here they collected another tag-along, a shrine priestess named Silphiel. Her story and song was a sad one. Without any family or a shrine to call her own, the young lady was hoping to gain support from another more prosperous shrine to rebuild the one which had been destroyed. The tale of the terrible priest whose soul had been consumed by a monster and driven by the resulting madness to extinguish himself and her city struck a hauntingly familiar chord. At the close of the solo, Amelia asked in a slightly wavering voice,
"You were born in Syrog, Miss Silphio?"
Zell crossed his arms over his chest and looked dour, knowing the answer.
"Why, yes. It's such a small town. Do you know it?"
Silphiel asked.
"Of course. I'm the Princess of Saerun, and am well versed in the history and geography of our continent. But that's not what I was thinking of just now. You see, Mr. Zelgadas here was telling us about his..."
Zelgadas was interrupted by Amelia abruptly. "The Red Priest did this to me. He was my grandfather." He revealed his scarred face to the shocked girl. Of course, in reality, Zelos's father was the power behind Zell's accident. But Lena thought that would add too much complexity to the musical version at this point. Actually, she ran the first version of the script past Gowrie, figuring that if he could understand it, then she'd be in the clear. Since he got snagged by the forest of intertwined family trees, Lena had decided to do a bit of pruning. Artistic license, she called it.
"The one who killed my family took away my home," Silphiel gasped.
"So it seems," Zell remarked coldly.
"We are going to Ridcoe Village Shrine to find his cure and deliver a government contract and strengthen Miss Lena's spells and give Gowrie a purpose. We can petition the priesthood for help for your cause as well,"
Amelia announced joyfully. "Just what we need, more little girls." Zelgadas frowned. "I'm going alone. I'll have better luck finding what I want without an entourage." The audience was chuckling at his long, familiar reticence to be a joiner. The chuckles grew louder as Lena played out another one of the behaviors she was famous for.
"Oh, no, you don't, Buster!"
Lena grappled him into submission with her well-known stranglehold. "You're traveling with us whether you like it or not. We're all in this together. Remember, that cure of yours is in the same book that I want." All five kids ended up migrating from a tussle to a jovial musical number about mutual support to achieve goals, with Zell joining in, reluctantly, for the final verse.
"Hey, Lena, isn't that some kind of a shrine thingy up ahead?"
Gowrie asked, shading his eyes with a hand and concentrating on an imaginary view off stage.
"Where? Whoa, you got some sharp eyes to see anything that far away,"
Lena remarked, accompanied by a hard smack on Gowrie's back.
"Come on, I was thinking it was up in the mountains, but this is a lot more convenient. Maybe this is the place Zelos meant after all."
Not to let Lena get her hands on the prize book first, Zelgadas sped off with the others. Scene 2.
"Well, so which one do you think it is?"
Lena looked at the mostly painted backdrop of tall stacks of endless-looking bookcases, filled floor to ceiling with identical-looking books.
"There's so many," Silphiel wailed. "We can't read them all." We have to try,
Amelia told her, as if she were trying to convince herself it was true as well.
At least until Miss Lena or Mr. Zelgadas think of a faster way.
To set a good example, she pulled out a text from the only real case on stage and opened it.
I can't understand a word of this.
Lena and Zell weren't having any better luck. There must be a clue to unlocking the code. If we can figure that out, we can translate these, Zell muttered, as he started searching desperately for anything that looked different.
You raise a valid point, came a disembodied voice.
Zelos stepped out from behind the real bookcase.
Zelos!
Lena shouted. She had him, a tad more roughly than usual, by the collar in a split second.
About time you showed up. This is the right place, right? Which one is the book we want?
Ouch,
Zelos moaned, until she stopped shaking him. But she'd not freed him.
I came as soon as I could, and yes, you found the place, but I'm afraid what you want could be in any of them.
Before Lena could strangle the priest, Amelia stopped her.
Please, maybe he knows how to read them. Maybe there's an index.
Lena instantly relaxed her grip on Zelos.
Oh, yeah?
Zelos smiled and said,
Can't keep your hands off me, can you?
Now, that wasn't in the script, but it could have been. A flutter of laughter circulated the playhouse as Lena blushed, right on cue. Her look murderous, as was Gowrie's expression, as he stood flexing his fingers dangerously. He reckoned he was stationed close enough to crush Zelos's skull with his hands. He had overheard Zelos offer to take Lena someplace. Him and his damn fortune. The thought of Lena traveling abroad and alone with the other guy made his blood boil. That's when Zangalus made his entrance, costumed once again as the monster Lord Gov, with another of Gilas's controlled explosions masking his arrival and bringing the audience to its feet, yelling in surprise.
Jeesh!
Lena waved away some lingering smoke. Zelos began to issue her a warning, but she continued on talking to Gov as if he were just another bandit competing over treasure.
We found this place first, so unless you want a messy territorial fight with Lena Inverse, you'd better head back the way you came.
Zangalus as Gov looked astonished, then frowned.
I am Demon Dragon Lord Gov, and this is my kingdom. It is you, Lena Inverse, who's leaving. But first...
A monster! He's a monster!
Sylphiel interrupted him with her shrill cry. Her courage faltered momentarily.
You bet he is.
Gowrie mumbled so low, a voice only Zell heard him.
The both of them.
Gov whipped around and slapped Sylphiel to silence.
Tell me why you travel with him.
He leveled a curious look down at Zelos.
Him? The priest guy?
Lena shrugged her shoulders, still unimpressed by the monster lord.
He's on his own. He's not important. It's me you gotta worry about.
And him, too.
Gowrie grumbled more. Zelgadas elbowed him in the ribs and frowned slightly to shut him up. What was bugging Gowrie anyway? Gov Zangalus chuckled.
Then you do not know who he is? Ha! Zelos is a very powerful, high-level monster.
He thought this was terribly ironic. These humans being led around by their noses, by a monster, unbeknownst to them. The tense moment was interrupted when Martina arrived on the scene, tripping over a set piece, catching her foot in a loop of cable, and falling into the distracted Gowrie, nearly taking him down with her. The audience roared at the slapstick routine, which appeared to be well-scripted. Only it hadn't been intentional. It had drawn everyone's attention off Zelos, everyone but Gov Zangalus. He appeared to pound Zelos about the head and chest, demanding that he disclose his superior's commands and his motives for following Lena. Zelos was putting up no fight, and he returned his flippant, patented reply,
"I was curious about the purpose behind those orders, too. But you see, it's a secret."
He also warned Zangalus to curb his enthusiasm and lighten up a bit in a very low whisper. That last hit connected. Having been tended to by Amelia, Silphiel was now checking on Martina.
"Are you all right?"
she asked, helping the flustered girl to her feet.
"What's important is that I found you at last, Lena Inverse, destroyer of dreams!"
Martina screamed at Lena as she brushed off Silphiel's kind overtures.
"I've been chasing that flat-chested little sorceress Lena Inverse for weeks. It was she who destroyed my castle home, and now I'm going to get even!"
"Flat-chested," Lena growled. That was not in the script either. The music soared and Martina raised her voice in a song. A song that told her sad trials in life. How Martina loved the spotlight. Thankfully, hers was a nice singing voice to listen to, not like her nasal, obnoxious speaking tone. When the final notes ended, Zelos waited out the applause, then said, "Miss Lena, I urge you to get out of here." The recommendation had barely escaped his lips before Gov Zangalus began pounding him senseless again.
"That's enough of that!"
Lena shouted, and countered with an attack on Gov to free Zelos. She chanted a spell and shouted, "Fireball!" More smoke and sparks dazzled the audience as Zelos made his escape from Gov's grip.
"Run for it!"
he shouted, as he led the way off stage. Lena slumped after the expenditure of energy. But before she could pretend to shake it off and run off stage, Gowrie swept her off her feet. Beaming with pride, he said,
"We'll move faster this way, until you're stronger."
Lena, shocked to the core by his impromptu act, simply nodded as he carried her off. The crowd cheered their approval.
"Way to go, Gowrie!"
The bookcase sets were whisked off, and the earlier craggy rock sets were wheeled in to prepare for the next scene. Gov's territory. Scene 3.
"It's too bad that shrine with all those books got destroyed by Gov before we had a chance to learn its secrets. Then the next was such a letdown," Amelia sighed.
"Okay, so that last little shrine wasn't the right place either. What can I say? They all look alike to me," Lena said.
"It's okay, Miss Lena. At least Silphiel found someone to listen to her. Maybe she'll convince the High Priest there to invest in Syrog."
"I wouldn't count on it, Amelia," Zell said dryly. "In the end, she'll find that if she wants the place restored, she'll have to do it herself and not expect assistance from the priesthood."
"More importantly, we lost Martina."
"Well, it was more important to Lena. That's two fewer mouths to feed."
"But we regained him."
Zell gave a nod Zelos' way.
"Should have lost him, too," Gowrie muttered under his breath.
"Hey, Zelos," Lena called over to the smiling young priest. "You're sure this cave is the place?"
"Yes. I'm afraid I am prohibited from entering. But you can if you're quick about it."
Zelos seemed preoccupied.
"This opening is sealed against us monsters by a dragon spell. Hurry, our presence has been detected."
Sure enough, Martina had caught up to the group.
"Great! I thought I dodged her good back in that village,"
Lena growled. "Now she's got some poor kid with her." Muon stumbled on stage, dragged along by a wild-eyed Martina.
"Found you!"
she shouted, panting to catch her breath.
"Good thing for me that I found this kid who knew the way up here."
Except for the longer hair, Muon was a dead ringer for Fabrizio. It was uncanny how much he resembled him, dressed in a pair of two-toned bicycle shorts and a shirt similar to the real Fabrizio boy.
"Who's the kid?" Lena asked.
But before she got her answer, two creatures appeared and attacked Amelia, who had been standing off alone.
Oh!
She cried out a quick incantation, and Gilas, dressed in a ghoulish mask, triggered a few sparks. Gravos made horrible noises, which were somewhat muffled by his grotesque latex mask, and waddled around like a lame duck. Above, the lights flickered in a variable speed strobe effect, simulating more explosions from the monster's spells. Amelia! Zell shouted as he rushed to her side. She had managed to lose her balance, but Zell, being fleet of foot, caught her in his arms. He lifted her to one arm and drew his sword. By this time, Gravo skidded on the same wet spot that had caused Amelia's fall, and he reeled around. From the audience's point of view, it appeared that Zelgaris or Amelia had attacked him with a spell. "You're the man, Zell!" shouted a few in the crowd, while the others applauded. Amelia and Zell exchanged bemused glances. It was all either of them could do to not burst out laughing.
"Better go now, Lena. We'll hold them off," Gowrie assured her,
as he somehow remembered to say his lines and unsheathe his sword simultaneously. Lena nodded, spun on a heel, and disappeared into the cave. Martina sneaked around the inattentive Gowrie and the preoccupied Zelos, dipped past the cave opening, and chased after Lena. John, the lead monster, Sagram this time, roared out an attack spell as he jumped out from behind a spray-painted styrofoam rock. Zelos countered by striking at him with his staff. The spell missed, apparently, as did Zelos' blow, but not the next time. He lunged forward, seeming to drive the staff through John Sagram, pinning him to the ground. Another explosion and Sagram was defeated. By now the audience was getting caught up in the action. They reacted mostly with cheers for the slayers and jeers for the villains. It looked like it might turn out to be an audience participation event one way or another. In the meantime, Gowrie, Amelia, and Zelgaris had slain the Gilas-Gravos duo. Amelia was holding her left arm close to her chest, and both Gowrie and Zell were limping.
"Did we get them all?"
Zell asked. Gowrie nodded.
"All but Zelos."
"But he's fighting on our side, isn't he?"
Amelia reminded them both.
"So?"
Gowrie asked. This was another departure from the script. It took both Amelia and Zell's quick wits to get the dialogue back on track.
But it would be wrong, unjust of us to turn against a friend who's helping us," she cried out.
"For now, but never forget that he is a monster too,"
Zell said, hoping Gowrie would shut up now. But he had one last word to get in.
"Yeah, he can't be trusted,"
Gowrie warned them, all the while glaring in Zelos' direction. Just then, Lena bounded out of the cave, shouting, "I've got it!" But before anything more could be said about her acquisition, Gav appeared.
"You again?" she shouted in disgust.
"Fireball!" Lena shot off the spell, which Gilas augmented with more smoke and flashes. Dismayed to find the man still standing, Lena shouted at Zelos,
"Don't just stand there!"
"I really shouldn't be doing this,"
Zelos began lamely. His eyes flitted back and forth between the younger boy Martina had brought with her and Lena.
"Use those amplifiers with your strongest attack, Lena."
"No!"
she shouted. Lena turned toward the audience and entered into a soliloquy. "In the cave, I learned the final part of the most powerful spell there is, but I also learned that using it tags on a pretty steep price. Should it go out of control, it would destroy the world. I don't want to do a thing like that. Not only would it be the end of my mutatious self and my magnificent future, but it would augment the goals of the monster race, which is to return the world to a state of chaos and total disorder. No, now that I know the spell, I must find another way to put an end to the monsters that get in my way." This turned into her solo number. full of determination and spirit to rally the troops.
Raw!
Gowri drove forward, sword first at the monster lord. Zangalus Gov flung out an arm, sending him head first into a rock wall set. Gowri remembered to not actually hit the set, which would buckle under his weight, and instead just shake, droop, and slide to the floor. He had practiced it enough to make it look convincing. Zelgadus and Amelia recited spells and shot off a barrage of light attacks, keeping the light effects person and Gilas busy. Zelos launched a desperate attack of his own to protect Lena, taking Gov's retaliation full force. He collapsed to the floor, left to creep off under a veil of artificial smoke.
"He killed Mr. Zelos!"
Amelia cried out, moments before taking a hit herself.
"Ah!"
Zelgadus flew to her aid, but this time he was knocked flat by Gov's attack before he reached her.
"Oof!
He's gonna kill us too if I can't get these spells off in time!"
Unfortunately, Gov Zangalus was on her before she could finish her incantation. All would soon be lost.
"Watch out, Lena!"
someone shouted from the audience as he noticed Gov about to skewer her with his sword.
"That's right! You have fought your last battle!"
"No, you have. You, the betrayer of the monster race, defecting to create your own demon horde?"
"Huh?"
Gov now noticed the boy who had been hiding behind a rock with Martina.
"You!"
"Recognize me now? I'm Demon Lord Hellmaster Fabrizio, and you, the renegade Gov, are in the way and possibly ruining everything. So, you must die!"
Then, Muan as Fabrizio simply snapped his fingers and Gov went up in a puff of smoke. Demon monster death, Gilas style. There was a momentary sigh of relief, but then the boy gazed down from atop his rock perch and grinned.
"My work's not done, however."
Amelia was still cradling Zell's limp form, and Gowri was barely moving. Lena hadn't the energy to fend off another attack, and Martina was frozen in horror. Doom was upon them.
"I can see you are in no shape to carry on, so we'll take this a bit further and finish it later. Let's see, how can I ensure we'll meet up?"
Fabrizio Miwan's eyes settled on Gowri, where Lena was huddling near his battered body protectively.
"He will have to do."
"Don't touch him!" Lena shouted.
The action slowed. A driving beat grew in volume, and Lena and the Slayers launched into a motivational fight-to-the-end number for a change of pace. But when the last of the harp and guitar chords faded away, the spotlight was back on Fabrizio and the captured Gowri.
"We will meet again, Lena Inverse, in Syrog. Don't be too long in coming!"
The boy cackled like a kid possessed, grabbed Gowri, and, in another puff of smoke and a great deal of help from Gowri himself, disappeared off stage.
"Gowri!" Lena cried out. "Gowri! Don't go! Come back! No!"
And with that dramatic ending, the curtain fell. The crowd applauded energetically, while behind the scenes, Luke rolled in a fan to clear the air, and Lee dragged sets around. This next scene, the last for Act 3, was more elaborate than the others. Val and Philia helped move the elevated dais and luminous blue-green backdrops into position. The set fit together carefully with interlocking parts so that it would be stable through all the upcoming activity. Gilas positioned his explosive special effects and Gowri checked them. Moan took his seat up on the dais and gave the lighting expert a thumbs-up sign. Val hopped up to test the holding cells and fit Gowri into one of them.
"Comfy?"
he grinned.
"Yeah."
He smiled in return.
"But by the time I get out of this, my hands'll be numb."
Philia guided a foreground curtain, which would hide the set from view at first. It was painted to look like a door in a stone-clad wall. She ran around front, between it and the curtain, to see that it was placed properly. Yes, Lastly, she dashed back to inquire of Val and Gilles if they were ready. All was A-okay. That done, Philia rushed to get into her costume. She loved the diaphanous golden dress and veil, and was thrilled when Zell told her she could keep it when the musical was over. They cleared the stage, signaled Bobby at the curtains, okay, and the curtain rose on. Scene 4. The scene opened with Zelgadis and Lena studying the lock on the door. Amelia and Gowri were greeting both Zangalus, "So we meet again," and Silphiel, "I'm sorry the Ridco priests wouldn't help you."
"I got past everything but the last code. Don't blast it with a spell, Lena, or we may never get past this enchanted door," Lena warned her.
"I wasn't. Give me some space here. I'm gonna try."
She pushed him aside and chanted the magic spell, "Go to hell!" And the curtain door lifted to reveal the cavernous room beyond.
Fabrizio's lair was breathtaking. The audience gasped collectively at the shimmering grotto-like set. This was one of Zelos's big song and dance numbers, although he was in disguise. He had been involved in choreographing the movements to the background music in order to make the entire scene as surreal as Lena had said it had been in reality. Lena's vision had been to demonstrate Zelos's important behind-the-scenes involvement, while at the same time telling the story of what, in essence, had happened to them. So, as each of the companions defied Fabrizio and attempted to free the magically restrained Gowri, Zelos, in costume but masked, and seemingly invisible to the others, transferred the living people to their limbo deaths, surrounding them in pale netting. Was he acting of his own volition, or just following orders, or was he entrapped by Fabrizio as well? It was hard to say. But the audience was entranced by the singing and dance of death. Lena was last. In her song, she teetered back and forth. Should she attempt the spell to free her friends or not? She had no choice. In the end, she would succeed. She could not fail. Her song ended in an extended incantation, calling on the power of the Lord of Nightmares, creator of all, dragons, monsters, and humankind. Would she be successful? The music dove into a minor key, signaling failure, but a vision of beauty in shimmering gold appeared to float to Lena's side on a cloud. Yes, Lena did get one of her friends to fly. Kinda. The tiny platform, disguised with globs of polyester pillow stuffing and glitter, had just enough room for Philia to stand, holding onto the fine cables for support, for dear life.
"The Creator! The Lord of Nightmares!" Fabrizio called out.
"Yes, and you, Hellmaster, will not take her or these others."
But I must! I shall!" he screamed,
his insanity completely taking over his mind.
"No, you must return to the void from which you are all brought into existence."
"No, no!" he screamed again, over and over. But in a burst of light, he was destroyed. Zelos, his mask removed, knelt at her feet.
"My lord and mistress of all."
"Free them all, then leave. Go back where you belong," Philia, as the Lord of Nightmares, commanded him.
"As you wish, but what of Lena Inverse? What will you have me do with her?"
"Nothing. Her life is mine. Now go." Zelos nodded and regained his feet. In a graceful dance, he visited each of the company in turn, removing their enchanted containments. He paused by Lena last. His eyes traveled over her lithe form, hesitating on her lips. He raised a hand and smoothed a few red curls around a finger.
"Ooh, go for it!"
cried out a few kids from the peanut gallery, which set off a plethora of wolf whistles and whoops. Zelos smiled. He picked up her hand and stroked it gently, enticing it to curl against his cheek.
"You
had so much promise, he said, and then kissed her lightly on the back of her hand and left the stage before Lena could wallop him for yet another digression. The moment he left, Lena's comrades all awoke and started shouting in joy at their restoration.
"Hey, what's wrong with Lena? And who is that lady?" Gowrie asked, pointing to the Lord of Nightmares. "Hey, where you going? Stop! Hey, you can't take her!"
Zelgadis and Amelia jumped up.
"That's right. Stop. Lena stays here."
"That's right. Stop. Lena stays here."
The Lord of Nightmares shook her head and led the silent, dazed Lena to her platform. "The power of the spell consumed her. Now she is a part of me and must depart."
"No, no, come back, Lena!"
Gowrie fought through a shower of falling golden streamers to get at Lena.
"Where did he go? I can't see Lena or Gowrie,"
Amelia cried out. "The Lord of Nightmares has taken them both. Lena died saving him, and now he will die to save her," Zell explained dramatically.
"But that's just so unfair and horrible,"
Amelia shouted and stamped her foot.
"Well, maybe he will save her and they will both return. Never know," Zell said,
and with the others, backed off stage. The lights concentrated on Gowrie as he reached his goal and swept Lena into his arms.
"She's mine, and I'm taking her back,"
he declared to the golden goddess. He looked down deeply into Lena's closed eyes and said,
"Lena, it's me, Gowrie. Wake up. Wake up. You gotta be okay. You just gotta. You see, I love you."
And if that admission hadn't caused a gasp of consternation throughout the hall, his next action did. Lena's eyes flew open. "Did he just say what I think he said?" And much to everyone's amazement, Gowrie leaned over and kissed her tenderly. Then, unable to contain himself, he poured all his passion into the deepening kiss. Philia tugged on the cable, "Get me out of here!" and rose away and out of sight, leaving the embracing couple alone on the stage. Then the lighting changed and the music became joyous. Silphiel, Amelia, and Zelgadis reappeared on stage, walking slowly and talking together.
"Look! It's Miss Lena and Mr. Gowrie, I think."
Lena immediately pushed apart from Gowrie's hug and punched him hard.
"What do you think you were doing?" she yelled.
"Yes, yes it is," Zell returned with a smirk. "I was just making sure you were all right," Gowrie was trying to say.
"I'm fine. Can't you see that?"
Lena regaled him to some more punishment as she vented her anger and embarrassment.
"Oh, then everything turned out okay,"
Amelia exclaimed.
"Hey, what are you guys gaping at?"
Lena turned her ire onto the other three voyeurs.
"I think we better go and leave them alone,"
Amelia advised.
"What did you say? What was that?"
Lena hollered.
"Run,"
Zell squeaked, and took off with everyone at his heels. The curtain lowered, and the audience clapped, cheered, and whistled noisily. Then the curtain parted a ways, and Val passed through, carrying a large sign. This he flipped around and then placed in a holder to the side of the stage. The sign read, "Intermission," in glowing spray paint. He gave a little bow and stalked backstage. Now, Lena's musical had its humor, gore, action, and suspense, but romance was at a bare minimum, or less. The audience, as they often do when something they desire is missing, filled in between the lines. Every companionable moment, eye to eye, or flesh to flesh, or glove to sleeve contact, was construed to imply some form of love interest, reality confused with fantasy. Or was it the other way around?